Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 46, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for Wednesday, August 29th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. 8675-3-O-Brien. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
There's this place on Ocean Avenue where Miles would used to sit and talk with you. We were both 16 and it felt so right. Sleeping all gray, staying up all night.
Woo!
Nice.
Fucking yellow card, Ocean Avenue, a.k.a. by Hannah Soltis, at Soltis Hannah. Thank you. I remember when you tweeted at me, I said, this is a go. Because I love this song, and also, fun fact, the violinist who played in Yellow Card, he tried to claim to people that he invented the rock backflip. Like, he was the first dude to do a backflip on stage.
And really?
I was like, okay, you might be the first dude with a violin in a rock band to do a backflip on stage, but come on, my guy, that's not you.
That's a great claim to make. My AK was courtesy of Levi Tucker, or Levy Tucker.
Probably it's Levi.
Yeah, I think I got it right.
I like Levy. It's Levy.
Levy.
Leviosa.
Anyways, and I may have done that one before, according to Super Producer Nick Stump, but it's a good one, so you're welcome. For the rerun, only the hits. We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the co-host of the hottest new podcast on the Hey Sluts What's Up Network. The Bechdel Cast is that podcast. Please welcome Caitlin.
What up, dude?
Hi, a.k.a. Launder Titanic, which is an anagram for Caitlin Durante.
Launder Titanic.
Uh-huh. I have a bunch of these, so every time I come on, Latin.
Don't burn them all now.
I know.
Okay, never mind. Let me read it.
So but just
I do want to hear Latin.
Latin dancer UTI.
That's amazing.
those are courtesy.
Oh, shit.
Latin dancer UTI.
Those are courtesy of my pal, comedian Zach Sherwin.
Damn.
But I have written a few of my own. Yeah. So there's like 10 of these out there.
Damn.
So, and more if you want to try anagramming some of these yourself.
Oh, yeah, I wonder.
His mind works in a very strange way.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny dude. And good rapper.
Latin dancer UTI.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jamie, my co-host of the Bechdel Cast, she drew illustrations for a lot of the ones.
Oh, shit.
So I'll show you.
See,
guys.
That's why your merch store is so lit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, go get their merch.
Yeah, their merch is
Feminist Icon lit. Merch.
Feminist Icon t-shirt.
It's selling better than Kanye West's clothing brand.
It is.
That's what I'm reading.
The hottest selling merch on the Hey Sluts What's Up Network merch store. I don't know if I'm even allowed to say that, but it's the
trade
truth,
secrets.
So fuck it. All right, Caitlin, we're going to get to know you even better, but first we're going to tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about America's consumption engine. Our consumer confidence is at a 18-year high, and also unboxing videos. There are 74 million of them on the internet, so we thought we'd celebrate those two testaments to just the very acute form of insanity that we suffer from as a nation. We're going to talk about more like me who, because Louie's back.
Uh-oh.
And Miles is loving it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
And we're also going to be talking about how Woody Allen is doing these days. A little twin Me Too update. I don't know why I used a baby voice. That was a little creepy. We're going to be talking about the president's anti-Google rant, Gish Gallop-tastic, to quote Andrew T., and then somebody who adds tastic on the end of words. We're going to talk 7-Eleven, finally having its own delivery app, which is big news for dirtbags everywhere. We're going to talk about how I'm including myself in that.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about how American land is actually used. There's a pretty cool article with like really cool illustrations about what the actual United States of America is made up of. And we're going to talk about a study that found that no level of drinking is safe despite all these years of, you know, us telling ourselves and being told that like a glass of red wine a night is actually good for you. Yeah, there you go. Nice.
Maybe I just wrote that.
Hot off the presses, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. I'm not very quick with my mind.
Miles just threw that postcard down and on to the next joke. But first, Caitlin, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I just searched for Ewok Adventure DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exactly remember why I searched for this, but I did. And yeah. I think I was like trying to figure out if that Ewok Adventure movie was canon, and I guess if it was on DVD, because
right.
I specifically searched for the DVD of it.
Now, do you have a DVD player?
I sure do.
You do.
Mm-hmm. You got to these days.
Yeah,
you don't have one?
No, I'm still VHS, man.
Ooh.
No, I don't have one. No.
Well, if you recall, I am one of the few people left alive who is still getting DVDs from Netflix.
Oh, you're one of the three million. There's 3 million of you, I think, still.
Really? That's a lot.
It was some really wild figure that, like, that wait.
It's probably, like, people, like, 50 or older, I'm guessing.
I know my mother is definitely one of them. Yeah, that was the thing. 3 million people are still getting DVDs delivered to them from Netflix.
Hmm.
Because a lot of stuff, you know, like, if you want. My mom watches a bunch of, like, obscure BBC dramas, like English dramas.
Yeah.
You can only get that on the DVD. Mm-hmm. So that's how, you know, she watches her, like, Poirot,
sure.
old school shit.
Yeah, I mean, the DVDs, you have access to basically everything, right?
Like, essentially,
they
yeah.
have DVDs mm-hmm. for
if
everything.
It is a DVD. I mean, I feel like maybe there's some obscure things that you can't get, but by and large, right?
Yeah, I think
or
so.
Or I don't know, you're the one using it.
I'm the expert here, yeah.
They got it all?
Pretty much.
Did you look on Netflix for the Ewok Adventure DVD?
I didn't. I don't necessarily care enough to watch it. I just wanted to make sure it was out there.
That it actually happened and wasn't like a hallucination yeah, from your childhood.
Were there two or was there just one? Caravan of Courage.
You know what? I simply don't know.
I remember when it came out as a kid, I just kind of felt cheated because I was like, that's the thing from Star Wars, but where's the real Star Wars stuff I'm looking for?
Excuse me? Ewoks are the coolest part of Star Wars.
They're violent cannibal. They eat people, and I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't really
I don't
trust
so.
Widget.
I think they're vegetarians. They're very peaceful
beings. I would rewatch Return of the Jedi.
They are eating out of a helmet at one point,
yeah.
and like it's implied that they're like using stormtrooper skulls as like dishware.
Drums.
Yeah, drums. Yeah. Their femur bones as drumsticks.
Hell yeah. Which makes me like them more.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? As I pull this up, I'm sorry, I said Widget incorrectly. It's actually Wicket, I forgot. And that was played by Warwick Davis. Who we all know that mm-hmm. Great English actor. Also, Tony Cox played another Ewok named Whittle. And I don't know if you remember Tony Cox. He's Mm-mm. the small gentleman from the Bad Santa movies who was Billy Bob Thornton's sidekick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. So, gosh, they're out here.
What careers?
What they careers have. They have.
Caitlin, what is something you think is overrated?
I think that Instagram stories are overrated. Because one, I don't know how to use them.
Oh, perfect. This will fit in good when we talk about Trump using Google.
But I don't like that they like disappear, and I know you can like save them to your whatever, but I think that our attention spans are they're just getting shorter and shorter, and these are so fleeting, and I don't know.
So it's the like ephemeral aspect of it that you don't like?
Yeah, like, what if I miss something that someone posted
so
and then it's not
have,
there
like,
anymore?
FOMO mix. Ooh,
yeah,
you got a very complex relationship with these stories.
Because
part of you was like, well, what if I miss something, though?
Yeah.
But they overrated.
And so I played a soccer game the other day, brag. And,
Which one? FIFA? Pro Evo?
Yeah. Uh-huh. The
I was just playing that last night.
Yeah. I was on the field.
Oh, shit.
Playing
IRL?
IRL soccer.
We need to get a team going.
I know.
We've been talking about this. Okay,
we'll
sidebar,
do it.
Sidebar.
Yeah.
Okay, you were playing.
So I was playing real life soccer, and Jamie, Yami
Lofty, the hacker,
she was nice enough to come and watch my game.
Wow.
And she took an Instagram story of me almost scoring a goal. So close. But it was like a good shot, and I was like, oh, I'd like to have this forever, but
oops,
it disappeared.
Into the
But I
ether.
Think some, if you have an option to archive all of your stories too, I think, on some
yeah,
level.
Yeah, I don't know how it.
But it's the shortness of it that you're a little bit like, hmm.
Yeah, and I think it's just like contributing to just this cultural thing that's happening of like no attention spans.
Right.
We like if a video is longer than like 30 seconds long. Everyone's like,
ugh. 30 seconds?
Right.
Is this Lawrence of Arabia? I need 10.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I find myself really getting lost in because they're so short that you can just be like, tap, 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 and you just, it's like learning something through the Matrix where it's just little flashes of images and you're like, I think I just kept up with my friend's childbirth and now they have a home and this person's on vacation and you ate a creme brulee waffle.
And they Instagram storied their childbirth?
Yeah.
That is very disrespectful to that child. Like, eh. You know.
Well, it's not like you saw the kid crowning or anything.
Right.
It's
right, right.
Like, oh my God, my water broke.
There then, like, should be a story like that.
Yeah. That's the next level, right? Because, well, I feel like the last big Instagram story that really got into culture was that woman who, like, captured the couple on the airplane and was like, I switched seats with them. Like, we're watching this couple fall in love right in front of us.
Oh,
do you remember that? And a lot of people were like, that's an invasion of their privacy. But that was, like, I feel like one of the times where that format sort of played out in this bigger way outside of Instagram. Mm-hmm. But
anyway, the big thing I think we learned there is some podcasting duos actually show up to each other's intramural sporting events miles.
I don't think intramural Dungeons and Dragons is a sport.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Jack is just over there like LARPing and you're like, I don't want to go to
He's like, Miles,
I've won. I've vanquished.
Yeah. And
the evil king.
The hot dog guy's like, you know that night elf? I'm like, no. I'm just these guys' heroin dealer.
Caitlin, what is something that you think is underrated?
The film, the cinematic marvel, Christopher Robin.
Really?
Tell me more.
No one's talking about it. It was really good. I cried the whole time. It's no Paddington.
Okay.
But
thank you. Okay, good.
Nothing is, of course.
Nothing is
as good as Paddington. But Christopher Robin, I didn't know that I had so much nostalgia for Winnie the Pooh and like that narrative and those characters. But I watched that movie in theaters the other day and I could not stop weeping. And it's like, there's some weird components of it where, like, it's not just, like, a figment of Christopher Robin's imagination in this world.
Which is the whole
like,
point, right?
Right. But, like, other people can see Winnie, Pooh.
Oh.
And it makes for a really weird narrative choice. But setting that aside, it's a great movie, and I loved it so much.
Or the reality of Christopher Robin's life.
Wait, what do you mean?
Because I know we were talking about how it sort of, like, glosses over the fact that the real Christopher Robin was, like, hated the relationship he had to the Winnie the Pooh thing and how it caused him a lot of problems as a child growing up.
Well, because everywhere he went, people would be like, you're Christopher Robin.
You're
the
crazy
kid
boy.
You must love Winnie the Pooh. And he's like, I'm a grown adult. Yeah. Leave me the fuck alone, you asshole.
Right, and he like sold his rights to the thing for like a pittance. He was like, just, I don't want anything to do with
this
anymore.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he was bullied so bad, he literally had to learn how to box to fight bullies as a child because he was just constantly being tormented for his like relationship to these fake-ass stuffed animals. But that doesn't mean the movie couldn't be bad.
I do think there's a metaphor there, though, for the death of imagination in Western culture because that was the value of it. It's like, oh, he has imaginary friends that he plays with, and then now they're being co-opted into actually existing characters in this like brand universe. So you're wrong for liking that movie, Caitlin.
Well, you know what? I usually am.
No.
No.
For people
who don't know what the Bechdel cast is, it is where...
It's the best fucking podcast.
You take down the patriarchy one movie at a time.
With the log line.
Film reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Caitlin should be listened to and respected on all movie opinions.
In the movie, does Christopher Robin come off as like a mentally healthy person?
He's mentally sound.
Is he a little tortured?
He's tortured in that, like, he spends too much time working and he's not paying enough attention to his family. But it seems as though mentally, he's like in a sound mental state.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
I guess I'll watch this version. Because, I think when we were talking about it, it was sort of fitting into the broader theme of the Disney universe obscuring the actual history of the people that were involved in their films.
And I mean, all of the characters in the Winnie the Pooh universe, or a lot of them at least, could be seen to represent different mental
They're like manifestations of like,
Anxiety disorders, Piglet. Mm-hmm. Eeyore is obviously depression.
Tigger is sort of like kind of recklessness.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, Tigger's clearly manic.
Right. Yeah.
From Rap City, The Basement on BET?
What?
Big Tigger?
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Y'all don't watch PT? Never mind. That's for the real heads.
Caitlin, what is a myth? What is something people think is true that you know to be false?
Well, let's say your vape pen isn't working.
Oh my, just stop right now.
What? Scare me like that. Wait, do you know that my vape pen isn't working, or are you just...
Who told you?
I just...
I've come into your house and checked out your vape
pen.
Check
all your vape
It's
batteries.
Working, Caitlin.
Oh, okay. Well, let's say that mine
is that
specifically...
Love that flavor.
Tiger let's say that bud. Caitlin's vape pen isn't working, which it is not.
Well, that sucks, bro.
You might think that turning it off and turning it back on again fixes it, but it does not.
Wow.
It's broken, and I don't know how to what happened.
Yo, you came in hot with that myth.
All right.
So what you're saying is you need a new vape pen.
Yes.
Are you smoking like weird vapes, like a weird Duncan Hunter congressman
it's
vape,
just
or
like
weed?
Just like CBD. Well, okay. I can't even smoke like weed. It's just CBD. Vape weed.
My bad.
THC apparently gives me panic attacks.
Yeah.
So,
two.
But yeah. Twins. Do you want to play soccer together?
Yes.
Hey, you got a vape pen?
Get our anxiety out on the field.
I've been experimenting with CBD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not psychoactive.
The gateway drug. Yeah. Because I thought it would help me sleep, but
has it been?
I don't know. It's broken.
Oh, so have you even started using it?
You haven't even used it once?
I've tried it I've done it five times, and people are like, "Oh, you need to recharge the battery." Like, yeah, I've tried that.
Those things are really cheap, though. Every time I have a battery for, those vape cartridges, them shit's fucking, they die so quickly, or you'll screw it on too tight and unscrew it, and it's broken. If you're listening out there and you make good vape batteries, I'll pay more than, the $10 that you're asking for something that will last a little bit longer. And also, guys, if you work at a dispensary and you got the vape pen hookup, holler at Caitlin.
Yeah,
and
she's giving you all that good merch.
She's giving you all this good content, and you can't hook her up with a vape pen battery?
Right?
Come on now.
Jeez.
Come on, Bloom Farms, come through.
We are a podcast of vape kings and queens, if nothing else.
Vape royalty.
Let's talk consumption, guys, because U.S. consumer confidence has hit an 18-year high. This is the number one headline on Drudge Report this morning, with a picture of Trump looking like he just shit himself, but like in a competent way. And some pushback that we got from, I was surprised to find that there are still some, I think, economic conservatives who listened to our show, and they were like, yeah, well, the tax breaks aren't a scam because they're giving people $800 a year. And I do think that that is true. People like getting money for free, and they have given people a nominal amount of money. I think just my assumption is that, you know, and like Bush gave people tax cuts during his presidency and the economy was solid. The economy actually had a surplus, but then, you know, a couple wars and a stock market crash later and, you know, you needed that money. So I don't know. Nobody's arguing that people don't like money.
But it's the main people who benefited from those tax cuts are the ultra wealthy. Mm-hmm. So yes, on paper, sure, you got $800.
Right.
Some people, the people who are really fucking laughing their ass off to the bank are people who have millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So yeah, sure, if you want to go down that road. But to say that those tax cuts are like, you have teachers being like, well, holy shit, now I don't have to worry about my wages because I think in Colorado or Washington, teachers are going on strike the first day already. Let's be real. Like, that obscures the fact that, you know, these people got $800, but we still have no real meaningful wages for people that doesn't have to be the thing we hold up as.
It's problems. Just a question of the overall health of the system where people can't pay for their own health care and an unprecedented amount of the wealth is in the hands of very few people. But we wanted to talk about a consequence of this vast consumerist system that we exist in. So I used to work on a YouTube channel for Cracked, and you know, I knew about all the trends out there, but I hadn't thought about unboxing videos in a couple of years. And there's this video that was released by the New York Times that is just sort of a review of the phenomenon of unboxing videos. It's made by Amanda Hess. and her very talented editor. And it just does a good job of making me see the existence of unboxing videos again with fresh eyes and abject terror, the way that like someone will see them in 200 years in whatever museum. People are looking back at us and being like, what the fuck?
Another civilization comes to this planet. Hold on, y'all are
fucking this place up. Still exists? So for people who don't know what unboxing videos are, because she points out that when you search unboxing videos on YouTube, it returns 74 million results. So there are 74 million unboxing videos on YouTube.
At least a million of those are ones I've made. So
so just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But she calls it consumerist ASMR because there is like sort of a tactile aspect where you just see them open the box with an iPhone. They emphasize the peeling back of that like clear plastic that comes on the screen of your iPhone.
Keep that on as long as possible.
You keep that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
When I first get a phone, like it's like a when I usually leave the sticker on my hat, just be like, no, leave that on. The second you take it off, it's all bets are off.
It's
not. That's why my vape pen is broken. I didn't take it off.
Oh, yeah.
I never took it out of the box.
No. Smoking that plastic cover.
Yeah, like why is that woman just sucking on a small rectangular box? Nope. I don't know. I don't know how to use this. Still in the box.
Also an interesting phenomenon because I feel like it's one of those, I don't know, it's not necessarily clear what it's replacing. Like I feel like celebrity and model Instagram feeds are replacing sort of the fashion magazine and shows like, you know, Cribs and Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. But this feels more new and like sort of pornographic. She speculates that it's sort of a replacement for retail therapy where you just go to the grocery store or like a big box store and just walk aimlessly around and see all the kind of cool colors and things organized neatly, which I think is definitely a thing.
Wait, is retail therapy just going around and looking at shit or you buy shit?
I think it can be either, but it's just...
Oh, okay.
There is a form of retail therapy where there's actually a good section in White Noise where he talks about like going to the grocery store. He's like having this existential crisis and he goes to the grocery store and just like all the colors and like all the consumerism is just like grocery stores are probably America's greatest like invention because like people coming from other countries are like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. They've like never seen anything like all the, you know, brightly colored, organized, just sensory overload. But because we're, I guess, moving away from brick and mortar stores, we now have to find that sensory overload elsewhere. And so that this may be one of the places we're finding it, but it's clearly scratching some itch that exists in, you know.
Well, I think it's like people. A thing, right, where our consumer culture, like the intensity of the consumer culture remains the same, if not increases. And then on the other end of that curve is people's buying power is beginning to diminish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it might be closing that gap where you might not be able to afford the thing that you want, but you can watch somebody else get it and open it and be like, oh, shit, that's what that would be like. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It feels like, you know, it helps you feel like you are that you have purchased it. Or at least when I watch it, I'm like, yeah, because sometimes you like opening something very meticulously, especially if it's something expensive and you're like, oh, and then this comes out
right,
or whatever. But I feel like in a way, like we were talking earlier, like if you're serious about buying something, you'll probably read a review or watch a review video because you're interested in like, okay, I this is something I'm probably going to purchase and I'm able to, so I want to know how that's going to fit in. Mm-hmm. But other times if that thing's a little bit far off and you're like, I'm never going to buy that, you can watch an unboxing video and just get the thrill of that. I don't know. It could just be like, it's like, oh, this people are obtaining something. And you're satisfying that itch, too, of watching somebody obtain something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. She speculates that it's sort of the ultimate type of meaning in capitalism because you're watching the product go from its most valuable when it's still inside the box to, like, becoming a used product. And so there's, like, some meaning or some sort of cultural exchange happening there that we are sort of fetishizing. But I think it's definitely true what you were saying, because Miles, you worked on a YouTube channel too and you were saying that like these types of videos are so successful that you guys were just like, yeah, let's find a let's do an unboxing
video.
It'd
be like
it.
Oh, this format, it just made sense because you're like, for whatever reason, if you have access to an item and you unbox it, and it's done in the right way and you have the right personality, it's like, yeah, even bigger companies like, yeah, how do we ride that wave? But right. I think it also helps for, like, you ever been to, like, when you're a kid at a birthday party, like, your own birthday, and some kid tries to open one of your fucking presents? You know what I mean? Have you ever seen this at a birthday party? Hey, guys,
I've never
this?
Had
you guys seen this?
Friends.
No.
So,
wait, birthday party?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Anyway.
Other
wait,
kids?
People, like,
God.
Other people celebrate your birthday?
Yes, it's your own birthday. Some little asshole kid be, like, trying to open your present. They're like, oh, no, that's not your gift. Not
right.
your gift. You know, it's like same thing where you... You get the rush of seeing
what age
a
was
box.
This? Like
I don't know,
four,
last
or
year?
Five? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What? What's the problem?
I still like. I already apologize for trying
to open
your
my
gifts, Miles.
Yes.
God,
this is all
never...
Miles's roundabout way of
Caitlin, you
attitude.
You know that sensation where you're at Miles's birthday party last year and there's a big box and you just start tearing it open because I don't know. I guess you spell Caitlin M-I-L-E-S now. Anyway. But no, I think
Caitlin actually anagrams too.
to Miles Gray. somehow. I don't know. I watch a lot of unboxing videos, or I have watched a lot in the past. It's mostly
you
around
sick fuck.
Yeah, I know. Especially with like really nice packaging. And it's sometimes when they hear like, ooh, this is some good paper they're using. Like
right.
they use those descriptions.
Yeah.
There's something about that. And also like I started watching videos of dudes who just swim like in rivers where people whitewater raft and they just like sort of trawl the bottom for like lost cell phones and like they'd be like, swam in the river and found three iPhones. And I'm like, hell yeah, dude. Like, yo, get those fucking iPhones. There's some asshole.
Water
you should have kept
yeah,
it secure.
What are you gonna do with them?
Well, sometimes, right, some people have them in like good cases. So like they pull them out and they fully work. And a couple of the videos like, some people had just lost him. He found like a new iPhone 10 in like a Ziploc bag and the light was still on. And he called him and like returned the phone to the owner or whatever, which is also kind of fun too, because then you feel you can also
right.
put yourself in the position of someone who's just lost a phone and like you hope that's how people would interact with your lost like item.
Right.
But yeah, I also just like people fucking combing the bottoms of the ocean, the riverbeds
yeah.
for cell phones and, you know, headphones, whatever. Oh, wait till I show you this one, Jack. He found a Galaxy 9, whatever. And a new iPhone. I mean, it's
was the person at least grateful when he returned it, or were they like, "Oh, chill, thanks, bro"?
They were like, "Oh my, thank you so much, thank you." I mean, they were because they were like, "I thought it was just gone forever." Because yeah, if you've ever been whitewater rafting, you're like, "There's if I lost anything, you don't have goggles. There's no way you're gonna get that shit."
It's been a couple weeks for me, so I don't really remember since I last whitewater.
The River Wild was based on your life, right?
It is. It's how I get to work most days. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
We are.
I agree.
I had a little like bubble in my voice, like it sounded like I was gonna start weeping. But I'm not this time. I swear to God. So guess who's back?
Oh no!
Back again. Louis back. So Louis C.K. did a surprise performance and
you mean masturbated in front of someone?
Shout out to Twitter where like dozens of people made the joke. Isn't surprise performances what got him in trouble in the first place?
Yeah, Jesus.
Doing a surprise performance without the audience's consent sounds like he learned a lot. Solid dad joke, everyone. Well done, Twitter.
Move on to the next thing.
And moving
now,
on.
Now, racism, go.
Well, apparently, Louis didn't mention the fact that he, you know, was in the middle of this controversy and not really controversy, that he had done this horrible action and was just like went up there and made observations about tipping waitresses and
servers.
Servers. Well, I,
he
that's
tips
how it was.
Over servers?
Yeah, he tips them over. Like, yeah, like cow tipping and traffic.
Computer servers.
And racism. He was like, racism, that's not the one that I have problems with, right? Okay. So I'll do commentary on that.
But he did it at the Cellar, which is the venue where I think in the opening of Louis' credit, like that's his
home
Yankee
club.
What Yankee Stadium is to Derek Jeter is what the Cellar is to Louis C.K. basically. So he went into the most friendly territory, but who knows if they said he got a standing ovation?
Yes.
That's fucking weird. I don't know. I don't understand that. It's kicked off a lot of stuff because I know Michael Ian Black was sort of saying, oh, it's good to see him get out there after, you know, he's just, you know, caught up in this stuff. And you're like, way to sort of totally mischaracterize all of this.
Right. You mean, also, a lot of the conversations have been around, like, how will these abusers, like, how can we reintegrate them into society?
Right.
And how can they redeem themselves? And it's like, well, first of all, that should not be the priority. Like, yeah. The priority should be, like, paying attention to the victims and the people, like, the women who quit comedy and, like, their careers in comedy are over because they spoke out and then
right.
they were threatened and, you know, blackballed and all that stuff. So, like, the focus in a lot of these conversations has been on, like, oh, the abusers, and, like, what are we going to do about them?
Yeah,
and
it's turned into, aw, abusers, basically, is what you can distill a lot of that sentiment down to.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's been 10 months. When's it going to be enough, guys?
Yeah.
Come on.
Like, what the fuck? Honestly, like, for the shit he did, he would probably spend more time in jail than 9 months if
right.
that went to a trial, right? And you were locking people in a room and masturbating.
I mean, in an ideal world, yeah but our justice system fucking
absolutely.
Sucks.
But I mean,
so.
Like, if you even took by the rubric of if most of the time the justice system fails the victim
right.
of these things, even if he were to do that, it would be more than 9 months. So he's actually even doing less time just keeping low
than
even would.
In the court of public
would.
Opinion.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's been a whole thing we've just seen in the last 4 months, too, of a lot of people starting to talk about, oh, how am I going to get back in? Like, already trying to sound out more opportunities for themselves. And I don't think that redemption necessarily means, okay, you were on timeout long enough. Now come back to your seat of power and wealth.
Right.
And there you go. When that was the exact thing you were weaponizing to behave in this manner. So at the very least, he hasn't even done the bare minimum of convincing people that he actually understands what he did.
Right. He's still not holding himself accountable for what he did
right.
at all. My proposal for if there is any sort of redemption in these scenarios.
And it is your responsibility to come up with it.
Right, right, right.
As
right.
a woman. So tell us, what have you come up with?
For people like him, TJ Miller, Chris Hardwick, like they should get rid of all their wealth, give it to like Rain. Or something, an organization like that, get marooned onto that like giant pile of trash that's floating around
the
ocean.
The gyre, yes.
And then live on that in obscurity until they pass away.
Wow. Okay.
So that's my idea of their redemption.
Justice Corner with Judge Durante.
And there probably is like enough food out there, like in the garbage that they can like
throw
pick
away
through.
So much food.
Yeah, the food waste. I mean,
yeah.
Just open up one of those malformed, sun warped bottles of whatever, and there's probably some kind of nutrient in there for you.
Yeah. Our writer, J.M. McNabb, was pointing out that while it seems like we are giving Louis parole for good behavior or no behavior, Woody Allen is, it looks like, being sort of blacklisted in a good way. I don't know. Can you blacklist someone in a good way? I mean, first of all, his movies have never really been financially successful. And
mm-mm.
so he always relies on, you know, wealthy people to be like, hey, yeah, we'll pay for your movie because it's cool for us to say we were attached to a Woody Allen movie. And now that it is becoming more and more kind of acknowledged that he sexually abused a child, at the very least, that, you know, that's no longer a cool thing. And so he is, for the first time since the year 1981, he is not going to be releasing a movie this year, which he really tends to churn those out. But he does not have a movie on the horizon.
Because he can't find any backing.
He can't
anymore.
Find any financial backers. Yeah.
Oh, well.
They said he's taking time off to look for financial backers. Like, oh, well, I think that means
he's
that.
Taking time off to find people with no moral scruples.
Right.
Yeah.
Is what that is.
Right. So
I just don't, man, I don't fucking like Louis. Come on now. You got to know this is not right.
Going up there and just like completely ignoring it and talking about tipping.
Yeah, is the worst thing you can
yeah.
do.
Right. It seems very, I don't know.
Because you could have, that's like being like an injured athlete where you're like, all right, well, my knee healed back up and I'm back out there. Nothing went wrong. You
right.
know what I mean? It's like, you,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
you've completely, well, as we said, we were always wondering how long it would take for some of these people to think that you get confident enough to be like, okay, let's dip the toe in and see what happens. I hope that there will be enough public outcry that he will understand that no one, I'm certainly not interested in seeing him come back anytime soon. that that'll translate. But again, you think about all the people that depend on him for a check, like publicists and agents, things like that. They're probably thinking, they're like, yeah, like let's see if this cash cow can start generating something. Right. Yet. Like,
that,
let's see.
That's a point that I've heard made about just in the context of Trump's scandal, that celebrities are entire industries. They basically have industries built around them that are designed to keep their careers moving forward because lots of paychecks come from that specific individual. And so Trump has this whole, he's a celebrity first, then a politician. So he has this whole infrastructure of people who are covering up his crimes to keep the paychecks coming through. And yeah, I think the same goes here.
Mm-hmm.
They said, I think one person called to complain about him appearing at the club that day.
That's just so upsetting.
Unannounced, too. It would be like, yo, I'm surprised. No, I guess, though, again, because it is the seller, like, that's probably the one.
That's a specific audience. Yeah. Like, yeah, that appeals to a, that's a, gosh.
What was this stand? Yeah, it's like, if you don't stand, I don't even, yeah, whatever. We'll see.
There is a great list that I found particularly useful going around of 51 comedians who never forced women to watch them masturbate. And there's some great comedians on there.
Except
Naomi
not
Paragon,
me.
who co-hosts one of our other shows, Couples Therapy, is on there. Brandi Posey, Barbara Gray, a lot of great comedians who you have. Riley Silverman.
Sarah Schaefer.
Just heard last week. Sarah Schaefer.
Aisling B.
Oh, Desus and Mero. All right. Shout out to them. Although, I don't know. Mero, he said he was into some scumbag stuff back in the day. No. All right. I'm not shading him.
And Donald Trump is taking on Google. He does not think that Google is being fair to him. Sometimes you can just clearly see where he's getting information. There was a article on Drudge, which is like one of the places that it's safe for Trump to look because he knows they will be talking about how great he is.
Well, they also covered it on a Fox News segment, too.
Oh, okay. So maybe Fox News saw it on Drudge.
He can't read, then, Jack.
My bad. But it's based on this article from PJ Media, Pajamas Media, which is...
Wait, what's PJ Media?
Pajama Media.
Like, oh, it really is pajama?
Yeah, I think that's what the guy named his company.
Okay, so please take them seriously.
It's an American conservative news, opinion, and commentary collaborative. The article's argument has a couple logical flaws. It says that Google's top results are all liberal-leaning when you search for Trump news, so they're... rubric for judging whether something is liberal leaning is a like media bias chart that was made by an like wildly conservative source, because among the sites they consider liberal are the AP, Reuters, USA Today, like these.
Yeah, but we've talked about this. When you state fact and objectively what he is doing is bad, they cannot accept that because one of the true bubbles they operate in, or just the denial that's at work, where it's like, oh my God, can you believe they actually said that this many kids were separated from their families? That's hater stuff they're talking about, the AP.
You can tell that it's an objective work of reportage because the writer laments that the site on which the article is appearing doesn't appear in the top results for that search. They're like, well, we're not on there, so what the fuck's up with that? So
what's PJ Media is
on there? PJ Media. Yeah, but, not to mention Pajama Media is not on there, so it might be a conflict of interest.
You know what is on there, though, is Nighty News.
And the PJ Media's logo is like one of those like kids' pajama onesies with the butt flap.
What the fuck?
That's not true.
Oh, I believe it, though. Like, yeah. That someone was just idiotic and was like, oh, we're a serious news source. This is our logo, a butt flap onesie.
Let me just double check that PJ Media does stand for Pajama Media.
Just to make sure. Please let it be not. No, it's Public Justice Media, Jack.
Damn it. Yeah, originally known as Pajamas Media.
Pajamas?
Yeah, pajamas.
Pajamas Media. Wow.
So there you go.
Who even sleeps in pajamas like that anymore?
Nobody over the age of 6.
Although, you know what? I won't lie. Around the holidays, I like to put on a matching pajama set.
Do you?
Makes me feel
with
like,
Her Majesty?
No, not really. She's just
that's
like...
That's a big thing on Instagram is like families that all have matching pajamas
on. Yeah,
yeah.
She's like, take that dumb shit off.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it feels so good. Right. Also, it's too hot. Anyway, that's a little fact about Miles. Likes to wear pajamas during the holidays.
But so anyways, Trump caught this story as it was being regurgitated by Fox News, and he was pissed. He said in a tweet that Google search engine had, quote, rigged news story search results to show mostly bad stories about him and other conservatives. So the way Google search algorithm works is basically using the behavior of respected outlets to tell them which sites people would want to find. You know, sometimes, I don't know, I guess they have judged that when people Google Trump news, they shouldn't give them results that are Trump opinion.
Yeah, well, I've also noticed too that sometimes they will serve you shit that is completely not what you want. Like, I remember, like, any given political controversy, I'll then Google, sometimes, like, the top stories will come from like The Blaze or other places like that, where I'm like, well, I definitely, these are not the droids I'm looking for.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know.
There's not an individual person who is scheming to give you the result. You know, it's all an algorithm that can get fucked up and is just, you know, using all the words that they've read in your email and all, you know, all, everything to personalize these results. So it is weird. First of all, it's just weird for them to, like, this entire article is based on the author Googling on one computer, and then at one point they're like, and then I went and looked on other computers because the results are personalized and found, you know, similar-ish stuff, but they don't give, like, specific details at all. So it's clear that it's not a very well fleshed-out article.
But I think what it boils down to is that Trump is refusing to understand that most of the things he's doing objectively comes off as not good.
Right. The other detail that they miss is they're Googling Trump news. News is not like Trump opinion. It's, you know, like a lot of the sites that they're complaining aren't on there are actually opinion-based sites and blogs. Like PJ Media is a blog, and it's not a place that breaks news. The places that break news are the AP and Reuters and places that actually pay for reporters to go out and do actual journalism. So if you want to get right with, quote, news searches, then you have to actually learn and adapt based on facts. That's what journalism is. So I don't know, but who knows? But, you know, I worked at a company that...
brag. We worked at a company?
That's bingo is about to go off.
That worked, primarily made it their money by gaming Google's algorithm. My section didn't do that, but they had a whole, like, their biggest section of the company at the time was search engine optimization. And it was all about gaming Google's algorithm. And it turns out, like, you can't fool Google's algorithm for that long with bad content, because they are constantly trying to upgrade it and make people, like, only able to find the highest quality content. So yeah, there's lots of smart people working on both sides to fool Google's algorithm, and then from Google to make their algorithm foolproof and only, you know, returning the highest of quality information. And Trump's just mad that they don't have any articles that are about what a boss he is.
And one, it makes sense. He's all of these other stories around the White House administration, like, they're all reports of how he's been particularly in a bad mood since last week.
Right.
And I wonder why, as the walls are closing in. Which also brings me another point, because, you know, we've seen, obviously, with Manafort being guilty and Michael Cohen taking a plea deal and all these other things happening, and then Manafort having another trial happening in D.C., and we found out he tried to make a deal with Mueller, and Mueller, like, walked away from it.
Right.
That shit's getting very real, and we don't quite know yet. But then I wanted to also bring up this idea, because Lindsey Graham went on this morning, I think Good Morning America, and he was starting to talk about how Jeff Sessions might be fireable. I mean, he went last week and said something to this effect, to just basically kind of insinuating, oh, well, you know, the attorney general actually works at the pleasure of the president. It's not a lifetime appointment, blah, blah, blah. So he began seeding this a while back. But now, like, we're hearing, like, full-throated, like, well, maybe Jeff Sessions doesn't have to be the attorney general. Mm.
The president has been railing against his attorney general.
You've noticed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And your tune seems to have changed a bit on Jeff Sessions. Yeah. Why? What happened between July of 2017 and last week?
Good question. One, I was a big supporter of Jeff being attorney general. He was close to the president. He helped the president when no one else did. He was a highly qualified lawyer, a good senator. And I was afraid that when he recused himself, the president was going to strike out and fire the guy. He had to recuse himself, guys, because he was part of the campaign that's now being investigated. But we need an attorney general that can work with the president, that can lead the Department of Justice. This relationship is beyond repair, I think.
But Senator Graham, I mean, the only beef the president seems to have against him is that he's not going to get rid of the investigation
Let me finish the second part. It's much deeper than that.
What else? What are we missing?
Well, we won't say on this show, but it's a pretty deep breach. And here's what I'm suggesting, that he's not the only man in the country that can be attorney general. He's a fine man. I'm not asking him to be fired, but the relationship's not working to replace him. To replace him.
Yeah. Let me ask you.
You have to replace him with somebody who is highly qualified and will commit to the Senate to allow Mueller to do his job.
So they're saying, get rid of him, but don't get somebody who's just going to crush the Mueller probe.
Right.
Someone who will protect it too. Mm-hmm. But again, they're saying, what changed between July 2017 when he was like, there will be holy hell to pay if he gets rid of Jeff Sessions, to now being like, well, you know, we need somebody that the president can work with and trust. And and that's why they're like, what do you mean? His biggest gripe is about this investigation. And then being like, well, there's stuff you don't know about. That's why I'm just curious.
Pretty deep breach.
Yeah. Now, is Lindsey Graham.
Oh, if I told you what he did. Oh, man.
It can't be on this show.
I just can't, because the president is very secretive and good at keeping secrets.
I don't know why suddenly it seems like he has a personal interest now in protecting the president for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. That it seems a bit odd. So look out for any grumblings of a little AG switch.
I mean, couldn't it just be that the Republican Party is fucked after Trump presidency?
They could just be like, okay, whatever. If it's going to go down like this, just we'll try and figure out everything we'll do.
They're just scrambling for survival.
It also just, it seems, I don't know.
Back then, it wasn't as clear. So in July 2017, it wasn't as clear that the investigation was going to find all this shit that they were hoping wasn't actually there.
They were saying Michael Cohen was a good guy.
And now that it seems like there's only really one path for the investigation to go down, the survival of the Republican Party is at stake, and they're going to do whatever they can to, you know,
I mean, at this point,
keep it alive.
This has to fuck their brand up so bad that you feel like this should, like, they're just going to have to figure out a new party after this. But we all know that won't happen.
The pajama party.
Oh, yeah. PJ.
Wow. I am in.
Is that a musical?
Let's talk off mic.
Pajama game? What is that?
Pajama jammy jam?
I don't know. See, this just.
Oh, House Party 3, pajama.
Pajami Loftus?
Pajami Loftus. There you go.
No, the pajama game. Yeah. Oh, by Richard Bissell. Is a book by George Abbott and Richard Bissell. That's right. It was a musical.
Oh, of course. It's a book.
It's a book turned musical.
Yep.
I just remember because I felt like it was a thing in my high school that happened, and I was like, this looks like something I'm not interested in.
I'm pretty sure most two-word combinations could be said to be a book.
Or a musical.
A musical.
The Pen Theory.
Yep.
That actually sounds like a self-help book.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and big news for dirtbags like me. 7-Eleven has finally decided to launch its own delivery app. 7-Elevens, I really like their products. Most of them smell like burnt garbage.
No, like burnt bleach.
Burnt bleach.
Or whatever.
Okay.
If there's a smell. Yeah. That's what a 7-Eleven smells like. Yeah, but right now, I'm a little upset because this service is only limited to people in Washington, D.C., Dallas, or New York City. So I'm getting on a plane right now to Dallas so I can use the 7-Eleven app. I thought Postmates would do me in, but if 7-Eleven just delivers things, that's a really – because I like a spicy bite. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I will eat
Miles,
a spicy bite.
Spicy bite, agree.
One time I lost my job and I went straight to 7-Eleven to cope and I ate a gigantic spicy bite with the shitty nacho cheese and the chili that comes out that weird ass machine. And I had a vision of the future. I don't know if it was like a chemically induced hallucination, but it was great.
This reminds me a bit of how I used to be a delivery driver for America's greatest restaurant. Hooters.
Yeah.
Ah, that's so, right.
Yeah.
How?
Not quite the same.
They're not doing too hot right now. Did you read that story?
I did read that story. Yeah. Yes.
Our generation kind of sees how weird the idea of a Hooters is in general.
Why? What's wrong with Hooters?
It's really because
people don't like their wings?
Yeah. I mean, the only way to get them is Daytona style, man. Right. And they used to not advertise that. I think that's really the problem. I mean, now
you
they do.
Brother.
But, yeah. Daytona style.
Well, the real reason that Hooters isn't doing well is because I no longer work there.
Right.
So, but, you know.
Did you like Hooters food?
Not especially, no.
Fried pickles?
I don't know if I had them from Hooters.
Do you like fried pickles in general? That's
yeah,
the only
okay.
thing I think I'm like, oh, they have fried pickles there, but I can't go in there. Or just it's too far away for me to go to a Hooters for fried
their
pickles.
Their wings are fine.
Wings are fine. We all know Wingstop is still the best wing out there. Please holler at me, Wingstop, because I can't stop eating their wings. There's something about it.
I really need help.
And that, and also 7-Eleven, please stop selling spicy bites. My body is begging.
Wait, what are spicy bites?
It's just the spicy hot dog that
they
have.
Oh, got
it. Yeah, there's like the big bite, and there's a spicy bite. Mm. And yeah, 7-Eleven, I mean, I think it's a good thing if you need things in a pinch that you can't normally get on Postmates or whatever, but 7-Eleven.
Like Hep C.
Get your condoms and your lighters and your Swisher Sweets and your Listerine strips and whatever you get there.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about how American land is used. There's just a really cool article in Bloomberg. Bloomberg apparently has some pretty great online article designers.
Like infographics?
As they're called.
Oh.
Yeah.
Article, like for their graphic user interface?
Yes. But it was just cool. It kind of put things in perspective in a way that I hadn't really understood the country. Like, for instance, I had no idea that 1/3 of the United States is used for pasture. And when you take into account land used to grow feed, it's actually 41% of the country is devoted to raising cattle.
Like, Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, between pasture and growing feed.
And growing feed.
Is 41%.
41%.
Of our land.
Yes.
Man, because I look at LA and it just looks like concrete to me.
Right.
So I don't know if that stat holds up.
So when in terms of our mental landscape, and you know, there's way more people living in cities, but cities take up a very tiny portion. It's definitely the fastest growing portion of the United States. So forest land is a major category that I don't know. I like growing up in Ohio, West Virginia. Even New York, like upstate New York, you are constantly surrounded by woods. And that's something that, I don't know, I guess like in movies and stuff, you don't really get that sense that that's what America is like. But I don't know.
And
or at least the East Coast.
Movies are how we relate to our
honestly, land. That's not a wrong.
No, it's
wrong,
true, yeah.
Like, yeah.
No, that's how I get all of my visions of every place that I've not been before.
Right.
Egypt is the Egypt from Michael Bay movies in my brain.
41%. And it's crazy. It's wild when you think about like how that contributes to global warming too, like the red meat industry.
Yeah.
That just makes so much sense.
Yeah. Urban areas make up 3.6% of the total size of
that's
the
not surprising
48
to me,
contiguous
yeah.
United States. But yeah, so the prairie thing is just a good illustration. I don't know. We've talked before on the site about how dairy farmers are like secretly the evil empire underneath the surface of America. And there's a reason. They control a shitload of the land. Yeah. So I don't know. Interesting article. We'll link off to it in footnotes.
Footnotes.
But also, and this is kind of a bummer story, but fun is apparently bad for you. No. So an article came out that did one of these overarching studies of all the other studies and like a statistical analysis of, I think it's a meta-analysis, what they call it, of all the different alcohol studies on human consumption of alcohol. And they basically put the kibosh on all these studies that are like, two glasses of red wine a night are better for survival and good for your heart. They said that any benefits to the heart are outweighed by cancer and shit
liver
like
damage.
That. Yeah, liver damage. So,
well, it's big business too. Right. You know, I think that's 2017, $26.2 billion.
Yeah.
You're not going to put that thing to bed.
Right. Mm.
They're giving people money to be like, hey, look out for big whiskey and all that. But wait, so this study you're saying it completely debunked all that shit, or just saying while those things may be true, it actually doesn't acknowledge that like drinking does have a negative effect on your physical health?
Yeah, they're just saying when taking all of these different studies into account, if the question is like, should I or shouldn't I take this drink, it's a net negative on your health.
Gotcha.
And that's their analysis, like based on, you know, looking at all the studies that they could find that were scientifically valid.
My grandma drank beer every day and she died at 101 years old.
Well,
so.
Shit, you need to get in touch with these motherfuckers.
I need to get in touch with her. if somebody, John Edwards, crossing over with John Edwards, help me, Long Island Medium.
Yeah.
What's the secret?
Well, I just realized why my vape pen might be broken. It's because I'm vaping alcohol.
Oh, hey.
No.
Vaping alcohol. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Just dipping it in beer like a straw.
Just, like, sucking it up.
It's cool. See, I'm done using plastic straws.
Caitlin, it's been a pleasure having
you. Thank you so much for having me.
Where can people find you, listen to you, follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Caitlin Durante, which again, anagrams to Latin dancer UTI.
For anybody,
so if you know how to
who's
spell
wondering
that,
how to spell yeah. that,
yeah. just rearrange those letters.
Into Caitlin Durante.
Right. You can listen to my podcast, The Bechdel Cast, right here on the Hey Sluts What's Up Network. We talk about the portrayal and representation of women in film and how it's usually terrible. And you can follow that at Bechdel Cast on Twitter and Instagram.
What's the newest episode?
This week, we are releasing Crazy Rich Asians.
Ah.
Yeah. Next week will be 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff coming
okay.
up.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of the Bechdel Cast, my co-host, Jamie, sorry.
Who? Yami Lofty, a.k.a. the hacker who codes, a.k.a. Lil Zamb
mm-hmm.
Oni.
She just tweeted, I believe, yesterday, fellas, if your girl did not turn into an eagle and fly out the window mid-coitus, she did not come.
Miles, where can people find you, follow you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
What if they turn into above. Another thing and it's not an eagle? Is there
well,
a
then
follow-up?
She did come, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Look, I don't make the rules. I yeah, just
them's the rules. Oh yes, I'm at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. A tweet I was really liking is from at BoozeMonkey. Rachel is the display name. Says people who order fajitas in restaurants just want attention. And isn't that the fucking truth, Ruth? Because you hear that sizzling platter, you're like, oh shit. What
the yeah.
Where's that going? Yeah. And I'll never order it though. It seems like too much work. Because
oh,
you're assembling.
Real?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm so lazy that even to put the loose pieces of meat and bell pepper and onion onto a tortilla and then eat it feels like a lot of work. I guess it's all contextual. Sometimes I'm
Spicy Bites comes assembled for you, I'm guessing.
Well, no, it depends. If I go to the one in North Hollywood where they know me, I walk in, the door rings, and he goes, 1 second, and he just pulls out my Spicy Bite with the cheese and chili on it.
But what do Spicy Bites sound like?
I don't know. Wow.
Spicy.
Yeah. I just walk through the 7-Eleven with like, I'm having a Spicy Bite, y'all. Look at me. But yes, shout out to all the fajita eaters out there.
Fajitas are a great example of American consumerist innovation because they were just like, how the fuck do we sell more fajitas? And they were like, oh, what if we made them sound cool?
Just they're screaming yeah. through the restaurant.
Yeah. And that shit worked on me. I used to always order fajitas.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean you used to?
When I was like younger.
You're like, and then I fucking grew up.
Yeah. And then I was like, my food is talking.
I'm more of a chile relleno guy now.
Yeah.
So wait, Jack, you're a fajita?
Fajita eater.
Fajita eater.
She's not the best in the biz for nothing, guys. You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. couple tweets for you. Minerva Zimmerman tweeted, at Grumpy Martian tweeted, you know why everything, this isn't a joke, this is just a good point. You know why I quote, everything tastes like chicken? It isn't everything, it's just all the animals that have dinosaurs as ancestors. Technically, they all taste like dinosaur. So keep that in mind.
And hey, where'd you find that tweet?
What do you mean?
It was mine from yesterday.
Was it really?
Yeah, wow. Boy, accepted the boy.
Damn, I was not
reload that one. Keep that in. I just kept looking at Nick going, what the fuck is he
from Miles of Gray? No. All right, second tweet from Ditch Pony at Molly7Ann tweeted, so what's deal with the pubes we've all been shaving off and saving up since middle school? I don't know about y'all's, but my pube barrel is nearly full, wondering what the plan is.
Oh, man.
So that, what, something old and something new.
Yeah, the plan is get barrel number two out.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry for totally not listening to what no, tweets you use.
I was amazed.
I'm always scrambling desperately
to find a tweet. Wow.
That's amazing.
Do your homework, Jack.
We need to stop spending time together because out of all of Twitter, the millions of things that were tweeted overlap. In the last couple of days.
Yeah. Oh, you know why? Because I think before I even started talking about it, I gave a long-winded description of how I ate a half a fried chicken and then went into that, and you probably tuned that out because that's all I was talking about when I got in office.
That's true.
I was like, yo, I ate this half a fried chicken.
Look, if you're looking for tweets, look no further than at Latin Dancer UTI.
Oh,
scrambled up.
Oh, man, that has to be a...
If
you
not,
just get
I'm,
that handle.
Yeah, I'm getting that handle right now.
You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page on our website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode. The footnotes are also in the information about the episode. In our footnotes, we also link off to the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
You know, let's do something just purely because of the artist name. It's not often that I look at an artist name and I get a good chuckle. So this is a track called John Cage from the artist Ross from Friends. That is this artist's name, is Ross from Friends. It's more of a, you know, like electronic kind of dance track. But yes, it, you know, it's got a little beat to it. And again, it's
I guess you can
Ross
have like
Friends.
Mad pretentious song names when your artist name is Ross from Friends.
Yeah.
That's dope.
And I didn't even watch Friends, but I just know that Ross from Friends, Ross Geller, is his name.
Oh, maybe John Cage is a reference to the Mortal Kombat character and not
would that be Johnny Cage?
Yeah. Well, do you think Johnny Cage is a reference to John Cage?
I don't know. See, it's hard to know. Hard to know.
Who knows? All right. We are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then.
Bye.
sometimes it to do you all. Oh, it will come to you to take some time. It's dead true. Oh, sometimes it's true. Oh, it will come to you. Sometimes it's true.